Premium price, maybe $200, and you get the fancy wristband.
Right.
But then the manager kicks you out. And not because you didn't pay, but because you tried to take the lobster out to the parking lot to eat it in your car.
That is just the perfect analogy for the mess we are unpacking today on this deep dive.
Yeah, we're looking at the collision between Google's new anti-gravity platform and this piece of open source rebellion called OpenClaw.
And we have a huge stack of sources here, you know,
Yeah.
Hacker News threads, angry forum posts from Google's developer site, the actual documentation itself.
And our mission is really to figure out if this is just a standard terms of service dispute or, the first major battle of the agentic AI era.
It really feels like the latter.
Yeah.
It's this classic clash where on one side you have Google trying to vertically integrate the entire AI workflow,
Right.
and on the other you have users who just want the raw compute power to build their own local systems.
So let's start with the shiny object that kicked all this off, Google anti-gravity. It launched back in November 2025, and it's pitched as an IDE, an integrated development environment, but a very specific kind.
Yeah, it's built for the agentic era, which
Oh.
means the AI isn't just suggesting lines of code like an autocomplete. It actually has agency.
It's doing things on its own.
Exactly. It can plan tasks, execute terminal commands, browse the web to solve problems for you.
And to get developers inside this walled garden, Google practically gave away the farm. They offered these ultra subscribers who are paying up to $250 a month massive usage quotas for their top-tier models.
We are talking Gemini 3.1 Pro Flash and even Anthropic's Claude Sonnet 4.5.
Which is a classic loss leader
Oh,
stratagem.
absolutely.
Yeah.
Those models are incredibly expensive to run. Google is heavily subsidizing the cost of that compute to force adoption of their editor. They want you living inside anti-gravity.
But high-end developers generally don't like being told where to live.
No, they do not. And enter Peter Steinberger and the tool known as OpenClaw.
Which is really the philosophical opposite of anti-gravity.
Totally local first. It saves your AI's memories and context as simple markdown files right on your own machine. You actually own the data.
And it's widely used for vibe coding.
Right, vibe coding.
For you listening, if you haven't heard that term, it's basically writing software using natural language and vibes rather than strict syntax. You tell the AI what you want, and it just handles the implementation.
And people were using OpenClaw to connect AI agents to real-world hardware like IoT devices, home automation, managing their calendars.
But running those agents requires a brain.
A very big brain. It requires a powerful large language model.
And those brains are expensive. If you pay for the API calls directly, you burn cash really fast.
So the community found a loophole.
Ah, the loophole.
They realized they could take the OAuth credentials, the digital keys basically intended for Google anti-gravity, and just plug them directly into OpenClaw.
So this is our lobster in the parking lot moment.
Exactly. Users were taking the subsidized all-you-can-eat compute credits meant for Google's specific editor and piping them into their own local tools.
Bypassing the standard API fees entirely.
And not cheaply either. Some of these users were burning through expensive inference tokens using heavy models like Claude Opus, all on Google's dime.
Just running massive swarms of agents for home automation experiments powered by a subscription that was never meant to cover that kind of external usage.
So Google reacted. And based on the Hacker News threads, it was not a gentle nudge.
Not at all. It was a hammer. Unlike Anthropic, who recently dealt with a similar exploit by sending out warnings, Google initiated immediate bans.
And this is where the real panic set in. We saw reports of users who paid that $250 subscription suddenly finding their accounts completely restricted.
And because it's Google, the fear wasn't just losing access to a code editor.
No, it was the fear of systemic failure. If you get flagged for an API violation, does that ripple out to your Gmail, your Google Photos, your Drive?
That is the nightmare scenario. You piss off the landlord of your digital life over a coding tool.
And that's the core debate raging on Hacker News right now. One camp says you exploited a subsidy, you violated the terms of service, you get banned. Simple as that.
But the other camp argues, hey, I paid for the compute. If I'm paying $250 a month for intelligence, why does it matter where I consume it?
It highlights this massive tension in the business model. Google wants to sell you the interface, but users want to buy the raw intelligence.
It really feels like a warning shot for the future. As we move toward these agentic swarms running our lives, we have to ask, do we actually own the intelligence we subscribe to?
Or are we just renting a very specific seat at their table? Because if your AI agent lives on your laptop and thinks using a corporate brain that can be shut off without warning, well, who is actually in charge of your digital life?
That is a terrifying thought to leave you with. Better check your API usage before you ask your AI to redecorate your house. Thanks for joining this deep dive.
Catch you next time.